Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Extra Turns. Today we're joined by Chris Baca, the man that helped us record Legacy the Tutorial. Chris, thanks for coming back.
Oh, I'm glad to be back. Sorry for all of the hang-ups along the way.
And that is not a problem. Stuff happens like that sometimes. So, of course, we have Chris, the expert, back on to talk a little bit about Legacy. Chris, we need to get a Legacy fix, learn something, get some tech. What website do you suggest we go to?
My website suggestion is just starcitygames.com. It's the best place to go to regularly find useful Legacy articles, metagame analysis, deck lists, things like that.
All right. Star City is one of my favorite sites to go to also. They have all kinds of information on every format. But, Chris, why go to a GP? Why go to a GP New Jersey?
Well, GPs are just the best. Any GP is going to be a great time, and Legacy GPs are so rare that if you can go, you should. It's like a giant F&M crossed with a con just for Magic. I mean, basically, like, there's artists, vendors, infinite side events, and just everyone loves Magic. It's a great place to go have a good time with good folks.
So if I go, do I need to play Legacy? Or, you know, if I don't have a Legacy deck, can I do something else?
Well, so I've been looking at this recently, and it seems to me that side events are the reason that GPs have a higher expected value than pretty much any other tournament. Especially when they're run by giant tournament organizers like Channel Fireball or Star City Games, which GP New Jersey is. I had some friends who went to GPLA. Neither one of them made day two, and they still made profit off of going to the event, like after considering airfare and hotel accommodations just from side events. Like,
that's impressive.
Yeah, there's just so much good stuff to do. You can play 8-man Wenta boxes all day, just for fun. It's a great place.
Okay.
And also, if you're like a binder grinder, if trading is your game in Magic, GPs are just a dream come true. Like, I'm that guy. And it's the one place you can go to get everyone from casuals to, like, super competitive spikes gathered up in one place. And there's, like, artists to sign your cards, vendors paying highest bid buy list prices if you want to cash in. Some of the best advice I ever got when I started going to GPs was that at a GP, Magic cards are the same as money, if not better.
Oh, absolutely. We were at GP Nashville this past weekend. And there was a lot that they were paying top dollar for everything, maybe 25% under their retail price for cards. It was great.
Yeah, I've sold Arabian Nights Mountain and 8 for the weekend off of it. So
holy cow.
Yeah, it's just really nice. I think they were selling them for 60. He bought mine for 45.
Yeah, I sold a Sorin that I pulled out of a draft pack for 22. To a vendor?
Yeah. See, that's... GPs are just the best.
Absolutely. So, let's say we're close enough to make it to GP Jersey, but we don't have a Legacy deck. We're not Legacy players, but, you know, we have a Modern deck. Would playing a Modern deck be that bad?
I mean, it depends on the Modern deck, but I don't actually think so. Blue-Red Dover in Modern is just exceptionally close to Blue-Red Dover in Legacy. And especially if you can maybe borrow a couple cards here and there, I think that it's very viable. Also, like, Modern Burn is maybe $50 away from Legacy Burn, and it's, again, a very good deck.
Oh, absolutely. I've been playing Burn in Legacy, and pretty much, I've been winning money doing it, so.
Yeah. Eidolon's insane.
Yeah, Eidolon Fire Blast is,
yeah. It's a good use of two mountains.
Yeah, it wins games, especially if those two mountains cast the Price of Progress earlier, so,
yeah.
Yeah. It is,
it's uncommon, but you can, you know, 14 your opponent on turn three. So
yeah, that's always nice.
So let's say you decide to go, but you don't really have anything. You know, what all are the budget decks out there? You said burn. What else could you do?
So there's a few budget decks that I actually think are very good right now. My finger has slightly slipped off of the Legacy Finance pulse because of life, and I've been really focused on Standard lately. But I know that always monocolored decks are worth examining because of they don't have duels and fetches. And one that comes to mind right away is actually Werewolf Stompy.
Werewolf Stompy. I've not heard of this.
Yeah, so it started off as something that I think it started as a vintage deck, actually, for people who like didn't have power and wanted to play in a vintage tournament. And basically, you run Trinispheres, Chalice of the Voids, Blood Moon, Magus of the Moon, and Werewolves.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and then if your opponent can't cast a spell on their turn, then all of your werewolves that you pay 3 mana for flip over and are 5/5s, and life's real good for you.
Yeah, for a while.
And I mean, it's got holes in it, but actually the last Legacy event I played Dredge in, I got knocked out of contention for top 8 by Werewolf Stompy.
Oh, wow. I hate to hear that.
It was pretty embarrassing when I said turn 1, Lion's Eye Diamond, Faithless Looting, Dredge Strike 28, still lost.
Seems like a good hand.
It was the best hand I could ask for, and it couldn't beat her hand of turn 1, Trinisphere, or turn 1, Blood Moon, turn 2, Trinisphere, Werewolf Go.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems tough.
Yeah, lost to that very hard. There's also, speaking of Dredge, actually, that's probably the best budget deck right now. You can play Dredge pretty effectively without Lion's Eye Diamonds, and that's the only card in the deck that costs a significant amount of money. Dredge is a fine budget list, and Manaless Dredge is also, or Oops All Spells, they're both fine budget lists for the Phenomenally Brave.
Okay, so let's say I do play Modern and I have like Affinity and Merfolk. I know Merfolk's legit, but can I transform either of those?
Absolutely. I think that, first off, in Legacy, all of your artifact lands are legal. So, what that means is that helps the Affinity deck quite a bit, and the shell is basically what you're playing in Modern, and I see absolutely no reason not to like run Treasure Cruise in that deck, and that sounds very real to me. Just poop out a bunch of men and beat people up. You've got a lot of ways to refuel. It seems real good.
Oh yeah, especially I think with Cruise and either of those two would be good.
Yeah, and I mean, Merfolk has always been a staple of the Legacy format, at least since the Lorwyn block. It's been good. It's been played before then even, but it's omnipresent and it's never terrible.
Okay. So now we've decided to go and, you know, we have a couple ideas what we're going to do. What kind of meta do you expect?
I genuinely expect this GP to be defined by Treasure Cruise. Like, the cat's out of the bag, the card is real, and everybody knows it. It's Ancestral Recall in disguise. And it's not a very good disguise.
No, it's out.
Similarly, though, one that hasn't gotten so much rumbling is Dig Through Time. That card is also insane. I think that the meta will be predominantly Cruise decks and decks that beat Cruise.
Okay.
excuse me. I think that... Oh, go ahead.
So what do you think about, like, Death and Taxes, stuff like that. Will any of that be showing up, or is it going to be more just Red Blue Cruise kind of decks?
I'm kind of two minds about Death and Taxes, because on the one hand, they sort of prey on decks that dirtle, like they do a lot but don't actually do anything, and these blue-red or just blue-red X Delver Cruise decks really fall into that category. Their goal is to just, like, cantrip and use the Xerox effect to sort of hold their whole deck together. And generally, Death and Taxes really preys on those strategies by being able to grind them out. But the problem is, with Treasure Cruise being in the mix, Death and Taxes they don't have a way to compete with that card advantage. So I feel like they probably get much worse. Specifically Death and Taxes.
Okay, but for this...
Also, I think Shardly Spog is unplayable now.
Completely?
Yes. It's just... There's no excuse to play Shardly Spog over any Delver deck with Treasure Cruise.
So we can already knock Bug out of the meta.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, there's Bug Delver.
Well, Shardless Bug out of the meta.
Yeah.
So, D&T's a little worse.
Probably. But it's also a deck that's very easy to port over from Modern. Like, I see a lot of people playing this sort of mono-white hate bear kind of list in Modern.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ports over very easily into Death and Taxes. So it's definitely a deck to be aware of and be prepared for.
Okay, and what do you think Burn with Treasure Cruise does? Does that define the meta here?
So I think Burn can get away with not playing Treasure Cruise. I think Burn
is so much better with it.
In Modern it is. In Legacy it has so many tools to punish you for being a Treasure Cruise deck. Price of Progress is so good. Like, most of these decks don't have basic lands.
No, usually when I cast it, it's six. So.
Yeah, it's two mana, six you. You don't really need to draw cards when you're just like, turn one, three you, turn two, Eidolon, turn three, nine you. Like,
right. Nine, sometimes 13 to 15.
Maybe. Yeah.
So... No, I agree. It's strong. Well, what else do you think we might see? I mean, you know Miracles will be there.
Yeah, I expect to see Miracles. Also, I think that Miracles is one of these decks that dig subtly really help. I don't think that the Miracles decks want to play Treasure Cruise, but they've wanted a Divination effect for a very long time. And Dig Through Time gives them a much better Divination effect at instant speed that also counters Treasure Cruise off of Counterbalance.
Seems pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Elves. We will definitely see a bunch of those.
Yeah, everybody knows that Elves is insane, and I think it actually gets worse due to the presence of so much blue-red Delver. Elves is traditionally pretty bad against blue-red Delver. And they've just gotten so much better.
Okay. So, is Show and Tell dead?
I don't think so.
No.
I think Show and Tell needs to be figured out again.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realize this, but one of the guys from So Many Insane Plays, Kevin, I believe is his name, just one of the greatest minds in Magic, really, designed that deck. And it's been the same 75 he designed since he designed it. And
that was 2 years ago?
Huh?
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, a couple years ago. And I think it needs some innovation. I think that's another deck that Dig Through Time helps a lot because it has to... I mean, it has to compete in a Treasure Cruise world.
No, I agree. I didn't realize it had been the same that long.
Yeah, it's just been the same since it came out. Maybe a couple cards have changed. Like, at least 73 cards that he put together are still that same show.
So let me ask, do you think you're and by the way, we gave you full credit, I don't know if you heard, for the Slugger
deck.
Oh yes, I did.
I absolutely wanted to join and give full credit for that. And I'll preemptively take credit for the Slugger deck that's going to make the top 60 to 120 at the GP.
Absolutely. Right. That was amazing.
If you're listening, go kill them with Slivers. Put your meat hooks in them.
Do it. So, you know, let's say, what do you expect the top nine to be there? So, we have Delver, we have Burn. What other aggro?
Delver, Burn, definitely Miracles. I think those are going to be, like, the top three decks, probably.
I think you're going to have Elves make a very strong showing.
Yes, I think Elves will make a strong showing, and Death and Taxes will make a strong showing because they do.
Yeah, you have enough people playing them, I mean, they get up there.
Yeah, and also this is the first, like, large event in a Treasure Cruise world, so Legacy moves at a very slow pace. Glacially slow, the format changes. And people who adapt quickly get rewarded for it, and that's why you see these blue-red Delver lists doing so well so regularly. But I think in time, people will catch on that Death and Taxes is not the thing you want to be doing.
No, I agree. I played it Tuesday, and even the new Burn list with Swift Sphere is just too fast now.
Yeah, and basically I think the metagame will be about what it has been before, only with less Death and Taxes doing well, no Shardless Bug, little to no Shardless Bug, and things just being generally more powerful. Like, the Burn deck is stronger, the Delver decks are stronger, the combo decks and the miracle decks, they're all stronger. But what they're doing is generally the same, I think.
All right. Well, Chris, let's say we're going to do something. We're going to show up at the GP with, you know, the old standby Merfolk. Because, you know, we got it built for modern. It's essentially the same. You know, what do we see people doing? I mean, unfair things like Belcher or, you know, Infect. What's going on? How do we interact with these? You know, we've named off, you know, 6 to 9 different decks. How do we interact with them all, playing something simple like Merfolk?
All right. So, I think really, just no matter what you play, you need to be aware of the key pieces for everything you're going to be playing against. Maybe not even everything, but you need to be able to identify what matters and what doesn't. Because in most Legacy decks, most of the cards don't matter against whatever it is you're trying to do. There's so many things that people do in Legacy that you have to try to answer. It makes it so that you have, especially in Game 1, very diverse decks full of, like, cantrips and cards that don't necessarily do anything in any particular matchup because they're for a different match. So you need to be able to identify what matters to you and then just interact with that. I think the first one to start with is probably Treasure Cruise. That's the big elephant in the room. The best deck for Cruise is probably the blue-red Delver, or maybe with another color splash, but their land count's super low, their action count's super high, they don't have to run a lot of threats, but that's also their weakness, is that they have Delvers, which just need you to have spells in your deck. They have Monastery Swift Spears and Pyromancers, which just want you to cast spells. They don't even have to resolve. So once they have one of these threats on board, you can be in real trouble. The key is to stop that from happening. Sweepers can be really good, overloading on point removal. Just don't waste counter... Say you're in Merfolk, don't waste your counter spells on their cantrips, their brainstorms, their whatevers. Just keep the men off the board. until it's late enough that it doesn't matter. Because with Merfolk, at a certain point, you're just going to beat the tar out of them, and they can have all the men they want because it's too late. And once you get all of their men down, most of their deck is really air. The next deck on my list, I guess, is Miracles. That beats Delver. So how do we stop them? You kill the top. You kill top on site because it's their best card by a mile or more. Top's the glue that holds their deck together, and when they don't have it, they lose at least 60% efficiency. Just kill top on site. And after that, it becomes they're forced to play a very fair game where they have to, like, manage their resources like a normal Magic player. And their deck's not designed to do that. I think a deck that people should be more prepared for than they are is Dredge. I play a lot of Dredge, and I win a lot of games where I identify determinate paths to victory that my opponents have at least two turns before I win, and then I win because they never see them. I like never lose to Dredge because I'm so familiar with the deck. When you play against Dredge, don't let them fool you into playing Magic against them. They're not playing Magic, and they're designed to beat up on people who are. So I often see situations, even like on SCG, where a Dredge player will Dredge most of their deck, they get two Narcomoebas and all the bridges in the yard, past turn. Delver player doesn't attack because they don't want to kill the Narcomoeba and give them four zombies, so they play a land, cantrip to find a counterspell for Dredge return, and pass. The Dredge player will then, like, return some Icarids, Dredge a bunch, cast Cabal Therapy twice for its flashback, strip your hand, combo off on you anyway, and you just did nothing because you were trying to play Magic against them, when if you would have made a really bad play in Magic, like bolt your own Delver, you could have removed all of their bridges from the game and made it very difficult for them to win. So just be aware that most of what they're doing is just mumbo-jumbo and smoke and mirrors. The only thing that matters is put a dredger in the yard and then draw the dredge and hit bridges. If you can stop that, you can beat Dredge.
So one rest in peace gets there.
Usually, yeah.
Sounds cool.
My Dredge deck has 15 cards in the... My Dredge deck currently has 9 cards in the sideboard that just blow up artifacts or enchantments.
That's really the only thing you're concerned about, though, right?
I also run 3 Leyline of the Void, a Gristlebrand, and a Celestial Archon.
Okay.
For various matches. Celestial Archon sometimes is Elish Norn, depending on how good Elves is.
Ooh.
Elish Norn's real good against Elves.
Yeah. Like, watch the board good.
Yeah, and keep it dead. no fetch for a Dryad Arbor and Natural Order me out of nowhere tricks. None of
yeah.
that. Just keep them all dead.
Yeah, game 3 good. So.
Yeah. Also, like, speaking of Elves, the way to beat them is to keep them firmly underfoot. They need maybe a couple of men to kill you out of nowhere. They also can just go beatdown mode. If you try to play too reserved and get them to overextend, they can just hit you with 2/2s a bunch. So just be real careful to try to keep them as under control as you can while presenting a clock and not giving them too much time.
Oh, yeah. If you don't give Elves a clock, it's over. It's over quick. That is one of the things I've learned since we have got our Legacy up and going at our local store. We have a player come in every week, and he is a Elves aficionado. I don't think he lost a game for 4 weeks in a row.
Sounds right, yeah. Elves is pretty good.
Once we learned what he was doing, you know, we could fight back. But until then, it was bad.
Yeah, until people start showing up with, like, a bunch of rough tumbles out of a sideboard and hellish norns and, you know, just, like, directly hate that guy. Elves is a deck like Dredge where you need to directly hate that guy or you're going to lose the match.
Yeah, I think the best piece of tech I saw come in against him was, it's a green of white enchantment, Battling Grounds, Dueling Grounds.
Oh, yeah, Dueling Grounds. That's hot technology right there.
Oh, my gosh. It got the job done.
Absolutely. So, a couple other, like, sly ones to be ready for. Be ready to face the Tendril's Menace. There will be degenerates like me playing Storm decks, and you need to be ready to punish them for being bad people. And the way to do that is assess how much action you have. If they lead on a ritual spell, they probably need that spell to resolve. If they didn't need that spell to resolve, they would have led with a duress. So if you can counter the first ritual, that's always good. If you can't, they're probably going to have a duress for you, so you need to have multiple counter spells the turn they go off. Also, Stifle is insane against them, because you can Stifle a Storm Trigger.
Whoa, you can Stifle a Storm Trigger or all of the Storm?
Well, it's all of the Storm is a trigger. You cast the spell, and when you cast, say, Tendrils of Agony, it puts a trigger on the stack that says copy this spell for every spell that's been cast this turn.
Oh, wow.
You can Stifle that trigger, and Storm never happens.
I did not know that.
A lot of Storm players don't either.
That is awesome. I didn't know that.
I see a lot of the time a Storm player will say, like, duress you, and you reveal, like, Force of Will, Stifle, blue card, and they take Force of Will. And then the Delver player's like, okay, cool. Have a good day.
Seems good.
Cast 20 spells, end with Tendrils, Stifle it.
Take two.
Good game.
Yeah,
I'll take two, you gain two. You're at four. All right, attack with a Delver.
Yeah.
So that's real good, and pressuring them is important. If you can interact with them a little bit, once or twice in the first couple turns, while pressuring them, they're in a world of hurt. If you try to just play a control game, though, and lean too heavily on counter spells, then they'll construct a perfect hand and kill you every time.
Yeah, they'll take your hand apart with all of the hate.
Yes. Discard also is much better than counter spells against Storm decks. You need to be proactive.
Okay. So proactive, not reactive.
Yes. And lastly, I mean, people don't really think about burn, and they should. Your life total doesn't really matter against burn. People think it does, but it doesn't. Your life total divided by 3 matters against burn, and you need to be aware of that number at all times versus the number of cards in your opponent's hand.
You know, that's a very interesting way to think about it.
Yes, and then the next level on that is to be aware of multiples of 3+1 because of Fire Blast and, Flame Rift? Is that the one that deals 4 damage to everybody? Yeah, like, they have a couple 4 damage spells, and so if you're always aware of your life total divided by 3 and that number plus 1 and, like, where those increments are, going from 9 to 8 matters. Going from 8 to 7 does not, literally at all. Going from 7 to 6 matters a lot.
Yeah,
like, you're pretty much dead when you do that.
Yeah, that's it.
But at 7, you're in the game. And that's an important thing to be aware of. Also, if you have to, just, like, sell your soul to keep Eidolon of the Great Revel off the table, because I don't understand how any deck in Legacy beats that card.
No, I completely agree. Most everything, curves out 2.5
at most. Yeah, with these Delver decks, I think these Delver decks, like, average mana cost is, like, 0.73.
Oh, boy. I did not realize that.
Well, once you count, like, Force of Will, Days, Gitaxian Probe as free, not, yeah. like, spells that cost mana, yeah, their average converted mana cost is less than one. The only two mana spell they run is Pyromancer.
Okay, man, now that we know what the meta is and kind of how to interact with them, you know, how do we pick a deck, especially a deck on a budget, or convert our modern blue-red, or modern affinity, or modern merfolk, something over? How do we pick the right deck to win with at this thing? And, you know, if we had to build something from scratch, you know, what budget deck do you pick, or what modern deck do you switch over?
So, picking a deck, in Legacy more than any other format, really, deals mostly with playing what you're best at. I've heard a lot of people recently talking about how refreshing Standard is right now because it's so wide open. And all of those players should just try playing Legacy because that's how Legacy always is. It's always so wide open, and people don't realize it. You can really be rewarded in Legacy for being either brave or wise. I'm able to leverage my knowledge of the format into a lot of wins, like what I described with Dredge. So playing a deck that you know very well is very important. If you've been playing Blue-Red Delver in Modern, then you definitely don't want to pick up Elves and try to go to a Legacy GP. So I think that should be the biggest concern when picking a deck, is just make sure that it's something you're comfortable with and that you know. You want to be able to, like, fill out your deck registration sheet without looking at your deck, you know? If you're converting Modern decks, it's always worth asking. You would be very surprised how many people in any given area may just have Legacy cards that you could borrow for the tournament. They'll often want collateral or something, and understandably. But say you've been playing Modern Jund for a long time. While Legacy Jund is probably really good right now in the face of all these Treasure Cruise decks, the only problem is you have to have Chains of Mephistopheles, which costs approximately infinite dollars.
Approximately infinite?
Just about.
I thought it was a little lower, but...
It actually might be a little more than that right now.
Yeah, it has seen an uptick in Vintage, I believe, thanks to the Vintage Super League.
Yeah.
So, for everybody out there that doesn't know what Chains does, it basically turns all your opponent's draws into a loot. So they discard and draw?
They don't get to draw. They just discard if they would draw.
Ooh, even worse. I thought they had to discard, then they got the draw.
No. It basically makes Brainstorm say, discard three cards, then put two cards from your hand on top of your library.
Oh, that's even better than I thought.
It currently averages about $350 a pop.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But it's so good against Treasure Cruise. Like, you can't play a cruise with that out. Your whole deck's turned off.
Well, you could.
I suppose if you're particularly generous, it restocks you for the next cruise. If you have a guy in your area that happens to have a couple chains that you could borrow, then show up and play Jund. Punish these degenerates for trying to play Ancestral Recall in Legacy. That's not fair.
Yeah, how do you really feel, Chris?
Honestly, I love Treasure Cruise more than anything that's ever happened since Mental Misstep.
Really? Well, they're both going to be banned, so...
Absolutely. I'm the bad guy, though. I'm the guy you should be seeking to punish. But I understand and recognize that.
Yeah. You know, that's the first step to recovery, so...
It could be. But anyway, as far as budget decks, I would like to touch on Slivers as, like, people still don't believe it. It happened at the SCG, and people think, oh, look at this little kid playing his Slivers deck. No, this deck is for real. It's really good. And the deck can play Treasure Cruise, and it should be. And it can play Phantasmal Image, and it should be. And it's a really, it's arguably the best budget deck. Again, if you could borrow some Force of Wills, Slivers is a phenomenal budget deck. And I can't stress enough how well positioned I think Werewolf Stompy is. Or just Prism decks in general. The mono red show and tell deck that Brad Nelson was playing a while back that had show and tell through the breach, Grizzlebrand, Infernal Titan, just big red things and lock pieces. That seems really good to me.
What kind of lock pieces?
Usually you see Trinisphere, Chalice of the Void, Blood Moon, and Magus of the Moon. All is four ups. I see those four cards, that like starting set, and I say, this is a prison deck. And they usually have lots of soul lands, right? Lots of lands that tap for two mana so that you can do things like turn one Chalice for one, or turn one Simeon Spirit Guide Blood Moon.
So it can accelerate all this stuff out.
Yes. Its specialty is accelerating out things that slow you down and then just playing big fat idiots at the back end. Like, I never thought I'd see a game where Inferno Titan was just coming in for 19 in Legacy, but it's real.
So, let me get this right. Trinisphere beats Blue-Red Delver if it resolves.
Absolutely. Blue-Red Delver is cold to Trinisphere. Same with Blood Moon. They are cold to a Blood Moon. They have zero outs to a resolved Blood Moon. Or Trinisphere, or Chalice on one.
Chalice on one takes, what, 32 cards out of the deck?
About, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, a little more than half the deck, sounds right.
I mean, they would
and
have...
And also, it pretty much blinks their lands, like... Young Pyromancer is what they have left in Force of Will.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So, it takes 36 cards out.
Yeah, it's very good. And that's why I feel like these decks are so very well positioned. Because, I mean, what are you going to do when on turn one somebody says, you can't play any of your spells? And then on turn two they say, oh, yeah, you can't play any of your spells. Here's a threat.
I guess you go to game two.
That seems like a good, solid plan.
Yeah.
And Brad Nelson even had Rabble Masters in his sideboard, right? So you sideboard for this locky control deck, and he's just like turn one Rabble Masters swing.
Oh, gosh. All the way to Legacy now.
This card is real.
Oh, yeah, it is. I don't like it, but it's there, so.
Yeah. Another good thing to at least take a look at when you're considering budget decks is the sort of glass cannon combo decks. And these are certainly decks that even if they don't fall into the budget range, you definitely need to be prepared for.
What are some of those?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is a deck that I hear you've had a lot of fun with lately, Chardalcher.
Yeah, I've been playing it, and I've never won a match, but it is so much fun.
That speaks volumes about the deck right there. I've never won a match, but it's still fun.
I had my opponent kick me under the table, so he's a friend of mine, and when I started the combo, he kicked me. Oh, man.
People will show up at the GP with that, and to be completely frank, I don't understand how an Elves deck ever beats Spellchi. Ever.
Bad hands.
Sure.
I think that's
Mulligan to Oblivion.
Yeah. When you have to go down to five.
Or something weird, I don't know.
No, I've never had them actually actively stop me. I just could not get the hand together in time to before they could get the damage through, so.
Yeah. But basically, Goblin Charibelcher is the deck that's going to put a Charibelcher into play and then activate it. And since they don't have any lands in their deck, it's going to do a lot of damages to your face.
Oh, yeah. Or I did get to empty the Warrens for 38 on turn one.
Oh, yes. I heard about the, was this the one where the guy Force of Will your empty?
I don't think that's the same game, but yeah, I have had that happen, and that doesn't help. So
yeah, see, these are, and that's another thing to be prepared for, because you want to say, well, I mean, just keep a Force of Will in your hand, and you can beat Charibelcher, but that's not always true.
No, it's definitely not.
You might need a Pyroclasm and a Force of Will.
Yeah,
and to be on the play.
If I think you have it, I just go on a different plan.
Right, right. And so that's a deck to be aware of. Also a deck to be aware of that people don't look at nearly enough, I think, is Ten Fins.
What does it do exactly?
So Ten Fins is kind of the Harlem Globetrotters of Legacy decks. This deck is just trick shots and spinning the ball on your finger around your back while you shoot layups. It's what you want to do is something along the lines of turn one, Dark Ritual, to Entomb, put Gristlebrand in your graveyard, cast Goryeo's Vengeance with your other two mana, return Gristlebrand, attack your opponent, draw a bunch of cards, and then storm them off to kill them with Tendrils of Agony.
That doesn't seem fair at all.
It's a pretty good deck. The problem is it's very, very susceptible to hate. It's the epitome of a glass cannon, right? You get that one shot. Oftentimes the Ten Fins player will, like, mulligan to four to find the hand I just described, and then get their Entomb, Force of Will, and then just sit there and die over several turns.
That sounds horrible.
It's not fun. Yeah, I think that basically, like, covers for most of the budget decks to generally be prepared for. To get back to modern ports, I think that Modern Merfolk is a phenomenal port. It's super easy, and it's a completely viable deck. I think that Blue-Red Delver doesn't even have to port that hard. Like, if you can get some Stifles and some Force of Wills,
yeah,
your deck is good enough as it is.
Maybe a couple Fluster Storms or something.
Yeah, I honestly think that if you have access to all the cards in the world, you should probably run one Steam Vince in your Blue-Red Delver deck anyway, because turn one, Wasteland You, Surgical Extraction, your Tropical, is real. Right, right, and that's very difficult to cobble together and operate on.
Yeah.
So that's real, and also there's in addition to the, like, black green decks, a good budget deck that I never think about is Pox. Pox is a real deck.
Really?
It really is.
I've never seen it in action. Can you give me a synopsis?
It's basically you just play mono black hate. Just hate. You run Sinkholes and Smallpox and Liliana of the Veil and Innocent Blood.
I didn't even know Sinkhole was legal.
Yes, Sinkhole is legal.
That seems so strong.
It's very good. And your win conditions can be anything from another spirit to Mistress Factory.
God, that would take forever.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Are you aware of what the card Pox does? I mean, this is not a fun card. This is
no.
Not a fun deck.
No, can you tell everybody what Pox does do?
Actually, let me look this one up real quick, because I don't have mine handy.
Okay, I think it's a third of everything, basically, right?
Basically, you lose... Here it is. Each player loses one-third of their life, then chooses and discards one-third of their hand, then sacrifices one-third of the creatures he or she controls, then sacrifices one-third of the lands he or she controls. Round each loss up.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Oh, yeah, it's real good. It's real good.
Swamp Ritual Pox and go?
Yeah, well, especially when you can really take advantage of round up, right? So, like, on turn four on the draw, if they have four lands and you have three and you cast Pox, you get to get them. And they have to sack half of their lands. You sack one of yours and then play a new one. Yeah. And then you'd be like Dark Ritual Liliana. Turns out, Dark Ritual makes just enough manas for that. So,
turns out, Ritual's pretty broken, but...
Yeah. It's maybe not the strongest deck in Legacy, but it's definitely a good deck that's fairly cheap to put together.
Yeah.
And it's very customizable. You can play a lot of cards in that deck.
Well, Chris, let's go to Imagining Land. And imagine I have $10 million.
What was that?
I have $10 million.
Okie doke.
And I'm going to fly you to GP New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you right now, because I can see the future, that you are going to play 8 rounds. And in those rounds, you're going to play against Blue Red Delver, Death and Taxes, Blue White Miracles, Elves, Sneak and Show / Show and Tell, some combo deck, and probably another Miracles. What deck do you choose to play, and why?
I play Blue Red Delver, because the sideboard gives me room to flex to hate whatever it is that I think I'm going to run into.
Okay. So the mirror match there we'll call 50-50.
Yeah, the mirror match is going to come down. It's going to be slightly draw-dependent. It's going to be slightly luck-dependent. And it's largely going to come down to who's better at playing the deck.
Yeah.
And I've been playing Blue-Red Delver for about 3 years now, so I'm pretty comfortable with it.
Okay.
The Death and Taxes match I feel supremely confident in because I'm playing Rough Tumble. That's just going to happen.
If they throw down second turn Thalia, you're okay with that?
Sure. It makes things a lot harder. Absolutely. But because of the prevalence of elves, I have to play some sort of sweeper deck or sweeper card in my deck. I just have to. Otherwise, I'm dead to elves. And Death and Taxes just sort of gets swept up with the elves hate.
Yeah, a lot of collateral damage. I can see that.
Also, I don't think I can ever say enough times how much I love one or two Gilded Drakes in the sideboard.
And what do those do exactly?
When Gilded Drake enters the battlefield, exchange control of Gilded Drake and target permanent. Whatever they show and tell in.
Okay.
It's a 2/2 flyer.
Oh, it's a triggered ability.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
So okay. They say show and tell, here's my Emrakul, and I say thank you very much, sir. Enjoy your Gilded Drake.
So if you show up with Blue Red Delver, your mirror match is 50%. Your Death and Taxes match is in your favor? 55-45?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Okay. Your show and tell match, where does that come in, you think? Like, how do you interact outside of Gilded Drake with Show and Tell?
Outside of Show and Tell, the current Blue-Red Delver decks have so much soft permission. Like, just so much in the way of daisies and spell pierces and the kinds of things that don't necessarily stop you but slow you down. And basically, I just want to, like, play turn one, Volcanic Island Monastery Swift Spear, attack you for one, counter every spell you play turn 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. you can do that. I'm looking at the list from Oakland right now, and looks like he could definitely do that.
Yeah, and that's a big game.
So, your show-and-tell match, what do you think that comes in at? Heavily favored, or are you behind?
If people continue playing the show-and-tell lists that people have been playing, I think Blue Red Delver is very heavily favored. And I think that people will, at least partially, at least for this GP, because Legacy is so slow to adapt.
Oh, yeah, there was a list, and it is pretty much boilerplate in 7th at Oakland.
Yeah, and so I feel like in time, the Sneaky Show list will evolve to beat the tempo decks, because traditionally they beat the tempo decks, but they're not there yet. And so until that happens, I feel very favored.
Okay, very favored. So maybe 65-35 favored?
Yeah, about 65-35 probably. Now, with that said, I can't stress enough that, like, Sam Black could show up with a mono blue Omnitel, just, like, wreck the format forever Dig Through Time deck. And, like, get Dig Through Time banned. He could do that. I don't think we should rule that out.
He's wrecked a format before, so...
He has, and he's also made Omnitel lists and named the article, Let's Get Show and Tell Banned.
That is the best thing ever.
Yeah, so, like, I don't think we should rule that out. But barring something like that, some major innovation, I think 65-35 is a conservative estimate of how good the matchup is for Delver.
All right. So, Delver Blue Hunt Miracles. I mean, I think it's for Miracles. I really do.
It really is. But I don't think it's heavily in favor of Miracles.
Really? I was going to say 60-40 for them. What do you think? And how do you interact in it when they just terminus away your whole board?
Well, you never really have to present more than one threat. Like, if I stick a Monastery Swift Spear, I can just, like, bolt you, trigger, attack. Things like this to chunk away the damage. Just beat for three every turn with a Delver is fine. Make a young Pyromancer attack for two. Wait for you to try to do something about it and then counter that or whatever. And the key is, if I can stop them from resolving a top, I can win the matchup pretty regularly. I think it goes to about 50-50 if they don't have top. If they have top, I'm dead.
Their only threats in the list I've seen lately are two entreat.
Yeah.
So if you can just keep them off that even, it seems like they have no threats for you.
It could work, but they often just have, like, random junk. Right, they'll have, like, a Jace or two. They'll have, like, one of Vincer in the main deck, and they'll just beat you to death with a Vincer or a stupid Vendilion Clinic.
Yeah, usually two or three of those.
Yeah, there's enough just random junk that can do a little bit of damages that trying to prevent the threats is usually real hard. Also, they can usually protect their threats by the time they go for them.
Okay.
So but keeping them off the top is the key.
Really? I would not have thought that. I guess I need to play more.
Well, their deck basically is designed to... Top allows you to generate insane mana advantages, even if you don't have counterbalance, but especially if you do. And if they don't have top, then their deck is full of sort of weird, wonky, not really synergistic cards that they have to use, like, real cards like Ponders and Brainstorms to cobble together. And, like, they run actual counter spell. 2-mana counter spell. That card is so bad against Blue Red Delver.
Yeah, it's so slow.
Yeah, way too slow.
You know, it's good against a lot of other stuff, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, it's real good against anything that plays, like, 3-drops.
So that's your real only 50-50 or worse?
Yeah, it's definitely 50-50 or worse. There's not a world where it's ever favored for me, but I feel like you can steal that matchup every now and again. And if I'm only going to play it a couple times in an 8-round tournament at the GP, then I'm still going to make day 2. I'm going to go X2. So I'll make day 2, and I'll pick up the pieces.
So you sit down against Belcher, let's say, or you know, we talked about it. Let's say your combo deck that you're playing against is Reanimator. I mean, how do you line up against them?
It really depends. I think that one's really draw dependent. There are hands that Reanimator has where if they're on the play, you have Force of Will or you lose the game. And that's real. And there's nothing I can do about that. I resign myself to that fact. At least game one. Game two, you have more ways. I like a surgical extraction and things like that. And I feel very comfortable with the matchup post-board. But game one, basically, I feel like if there's a turn 3, I win. And if there's not, it's because I lost.
That is that's pretty straightforward. I'll give you that.
Post-board, it's much more difficult. There's a lot more of this sort of do-si-do around counterspell wars and graveyard gates and you leverage this way, I bob and weave that way, and it's actually very, very interesting post-board.
Okay. So, you know, give it a percentage. What do you think, total match-wise?
Gosh. I mean, really, I want to say lifetime, I'm probably about 53-47 against Reanimator. Like, it's very slightly favored. But the Delver deck also, on the play in a modern world, just can't lose because there's so much permission.
Really? That strong?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going to have a Daze or Spellpierce or Force of Will turn one. I am.
So I guess you have to know the match. You don't get greedy and throw down your turn one Delver.
Not if you've got the Spellpierce. If you've got the Daze or the Force of Will, go for it.
Okay, I see what you're saying. And is Veil, Snare even ran in your list, or is it already gone? Like, I run it in my modern list, but do you run it in your legacy list?
I'm up and down on Spellsnare.
Okay.
The more I see blue-red Delver decks, the less I like it. The more I see Delver decks that are 3 colors, the more I like it, basically.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
It's good against Stoneforge.
Yeah.
And, like, Dark Confidant. And just, like, most of the guys that I care about are 2-drops, except against the blue-red Delver deck where it has no targets.
Yeah. It's good against counterbalance, right?
Yes. It's a very, very good answer to counterbalance. And it also just, like, randomly stops their Snapcaster Mages, which is not nothing.
No, it's very good there. So, you know, if you know the matchups, you're playing blue-red, you could, in theory, go 7-2?
I think so.
All right.
I was just going to say, I think that blue-red Delver, if you're a confident tempo player and you know the matchup really well, is the place to be. For combo decks, I'd probably play Dredge. I think Dredge is pretty well positioned. And if you're a mid-range player, I'd play Werewolf Stompy.
All right, man. Well, you have pretty much answered all the questions I had for you as to, you know, whether or not it's worth going, even if you're not going to play, or if you did want to go and play, you know, what to play. Is there anything you want to say before we get off here?
Not that I can think of. I mean, just have fun. These GPs are amazing. If you're thinking maybe I should go, maybe I won't, I don't know. I'm still, the jury's kind of out, you know. Maybe you live in New York and you haven't made up your mind yet. Just get to the GP. You have no excuse not to go. Go to the GP and have a great time and win one for me.
I like your reasoning. Win one for him with Slivers, guys. You
can
do it.
Yeah, that's right. Win one with Slivers with the Phantasmal Image. Play Phantasmal Image.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't say that enough. Play Phantasmal Image.
I had never thought about that until I saw it, so. Yeah, we called it Legacy the Tutorial.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of really useful information in that that really I only didn't say anything about because we already covered it.
Yeah. Hey, I'll link it in the show notes, man. It was great. I have about 30 emails requesting you to come back on and, you know, give some legacy advice. So,
awesome. Well, everybody feel free to... Yeah, of course. And everybody feel free to hit me up on Twitter or whatever. I'm at sort of X and Y.
All right. And if anybody wants to talk to us, we're at Extra Turns Cast. But, Chris, man, thanks for coming on. Until next time, everybody go to the GP, have fun, play some magic, and try not to go into extra turns.